I wish I could predict the future. You know, I wish I could. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the draft is, it's so unpredictable. And, you know, I think what I've seen over my years is at some point the phone's always going to ring, and, you know, we'll see what's on the other end. But we'll be ready. We'll be ready to make to listen to those and have those conversations. So we'll be ready.
GM Monty Austin Ford, Arizona Cardinals, meeting with the media a week ahead of the NFL draft that begins next Thursday in Detroit. Cardinals owners of two first-round picks right now, six of the first 97 of the first 107, I think it is. They're in really good position that could change. Monty Austin Ford has freely admitted, hey, there's phone calls going on. There's conversations being had now about the Cardinals draft haul. A lot of people are going to want to get up to number three. We know what happens every single year. Quarterbacks get elevated. Teams get desperate. They give up their future to try to latch on to their next young franchise quarterback. So some team is more than likely going to do that this year or attempt to do that. The question right now is, how blown away does Monty Austin Ford have to be to pull the trigger on a deal like that?
Yeah, and exactly how many teams are going to be motivated to blow away Monty Austin Ford? I think there's a lot of moving pieces here that may or may not create that kind of draft day windfall for the Cardinals. And we've talked about them exclusively. If there's only one team that's looking for quarterback number four in the top 10 picks, then you don't have to go to four to get him, because the Cardinals will not draft a quarterback. Now, if there's more than one team, and if you're the Vikings and you get wind that the Giants are also in the market for quarterback number four, and that's assuming quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3. And there's people who are split on that, even though I don't see why. I think quarterbacks have to go 1, 2, and 3. So, I do think that, but really, I remain in this camp that go get yourself Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, and then if you've got Chop Robinson sitting there at 27, if you can get a great wide receiver and a really good potential edge rusher in the first round, just do that. I understand the need for more football players, but at some point in time, get the really good ones. That's it.
I agree.
Why get two Bs when you can get an A?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Monty Austin Ford was asked during his media availability yesterday, hey, are you the kind of GM that would prefer to acquire more picks, generally speaking?
I think it's really all situational based. The easy answer is, yeah, I'd love to have, you always want more picks, right? But you also, like, we need players. And so, you know, I think it's really more opportunity based. Like last year wasn't a case where we came in saying, hey, we want to get a bunch of picks in the future. It just worked out that way. And I think it's really what opportunity presents itself. If the value is there, is the value there to take the deal? Is the value there to stay and pick a player? I think that's really a case by case basis.
Yeah. So to your example and asking the question, what teams could be interested? And yes, the New York Giants at number 6. You've mentioned it several times that the reports coming out of New York are the Giants are doing an inordinate amount of research and diligence on the quarterback class. They could be a candidate to do it.
So if that happens, and if that is the information I got, if that does happen, then I do think that Monty Austin Ford's going to have a decision to make.
But I also think, you know, lower than that, and this is where the desperation gets created from the teams lower than that. Tennessee, probably not. Although, is Will Levis their quarterback of the future? I don't know. Atlanta's not drafting a quarterback.
He's got great biceps.
Chicago will have already drafted a quarterback by the time their ninth pick comes around. The Jets at 10, the Vikings at 11, the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13. And I hesitantly put the Jets in there, but hey, 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was in the prime of his career, and his team drafted made an attempt to draft a quarterback. Actually, did draft a quarterback in the first round of Jordan Love.
And when did that ever backfire?
Yeah, but those
before
are all,
before he fell into the rabbit hole.
Those are all
Aaron Rodgers this week.
Man,
I'm glad we haven't even, like, most people haven't even.
Did he do something?
Acknowledged his latest conspiracy theories.
Oh yeah,
I missed it.
Anthony Fauci.
Oh, you missed that?
Anthony Fauci created the AIDS epidemic.
According to Aaron Rodgers, the HIV virus was created by our government for,
goodness. Did miss that. I did not
know
that. Yeah, some people are
But let's get the distractions out of the room, everybody. let's get all the nonsense that has nothing to do with football out of the locker room. Man.
Here was Monty Asenfort asked the question, hey, are the phones ringing? Are those talks heating up?
Yeah. We've had talks with multiple teams, and multiple teams have checked in with us. And, I think the way I look at it is like, guys, I love my house. I love where I live, okay? My wife loves where we live. If all of a sudden there's a knock on my door and someone's going to offer me something and I'm going to look and see what they're offering me. And if I open that up and it's something I'm not expecting, hey, Shannon, let's go pack up. It's time to roll. Okay. So, I think, that happens beforehand. It happens on the clock. But different teams have different motivations, but we'll see how this one plays out next week.
Look, he's not showing his cards, and that's the way that you do this at this point, especially a week out. But everything he says and the year of experience we have in a Monty Asenfort engineered draft for the Cardinals indicates that he's not sold on anybody, and that he's not sold on Marvin Harrison Jr. He can be blown away by an offer and still improve this team in his mind.
Yeah. Listen, and again, there's cautionary tales all over the place. He's developed. I think there's a little bit of trust and blind faith that is warranted in this situation, but I'm a little bit worried about it, to be honest. The last thing I would want to do is to get in this lane of accumulating draft picks. And I know it's different than the NBA, but we've seen this. The NBA teams that just do nothing but stockpile draft picks.
Or the other NBA teams that do nothing but trade away all their draft picks.
who might that be?
I mean, there's teams on both, categories.
I know.
Suns have a first-round pick coming up.
Listen, if everything really does rely around the quarterback in the NFL, and it does, and if you're really committed to Kyler Murray, like they say, and if they really love him the way, then give him somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. We're good.
You know how I feel about it. I'm right there with you. But the closer we get to the draft, the inkling that I get, and it's just a feeling right now, is that we're going to see a lot more movement from Monty Asenfort a week from next week on Thursday night. Kevin Hart, legendary comedian Kevin Hart, heading to the Arizona Financial Theater October 11th. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair right now by visiting the contest page at arizonasports.com. Coming up next, these days when it comes to college athletics, specifically Arizona State athletics, none of the news is good. So let's continue that trend. We'll share some stories with you next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. NFL analysts believe the 2024 NFL draft is the Arizona Cardinals' moment. So what do we believe will set up this franchise for years to come? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
You see why he loves it here. You could see why he values his job here. And I think when he's in a position to have all the resources that a lot of us at this Final Four have, when he has that at his full disposal, he'll be up on this dais, and someday I'll be supporting him.
That's Dan Hurley, the head coach.
Wow, does he sound like Bobby?
Two-time national champion UConn Huskies.
Does that surprise you? They're brothers.
You have a brother, right?
Yeah.
Does he sound like you?
No, I guess you're right.
That's unbelievable, though.
They're very,
very similar voices.
Right.
But that was him talking before the Final Four started in Glendale about his plight, where he is at UConn, the support, the resources he has at his disposal, what he's been able to do, and saying, hey, when Bobby Hurley gets that at Arizona State, he'll be up on this dais.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it doesn't look like Bobby Hurley is ever going to get those resources. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, did a great article. It's great. It's eye-opening. It's frustrating if you're a Sun Devil fan.
Yeah.
The name of the title of the article, Dan Hurley was right. Data shows Arizona State doesn't support basketball at the level required to win consistently. He goes over budget numbers, how ASU's lacking behind their competitors in the Pac-12, certainly lacking, lagging behind their competitors in a new conference.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of facility upgrades at Desert Financial Arena, which we've been talking about now. They've been talking about since the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and nothing's been done. You know,
the recruiting budget, a disaster. They're last by a mile.
$118,900 was the recruiting budget for Hurley during the 2022-23 academic year. Ralph Amsden, who does, always makes great points on X mm-hmm. / Twitter. He pointed out that Arch Manning's recruiting trip, the presentation that Texas put together, cost them $275,000 alone
for one player in one sport.
Bobby Hurley's entire budget is far less than half of that.
Yeah. So, and so what John Woolner is saying, and he's putting dollar signs to what we all feel, and that is, what is the priority of this football program and this basketball program at Arizona State University? And this is especially a big question, given the fact that at least temporarily, they're heading into a different conference, a different animal altogether, where the level of competition and the level of fan passion that they're going to encounter, there's going to be culture shock. And not in a good way.
Absolutely.
And then what confuses the matter, as somebody who has had a student at ASU for the last 6 years now, my son and my daughter.
They name a building after you yet?
No, and they will not. There's nothing but construction going on at ASU. There's just new buildings everywhere all the time, except when it comes to the basketball arena, which is like trapped in some dystopian nightmare. And John Woolner addresses this, that the basketball stadium is as old and decrepit as Packard Stadium was, which ASU basically shut the books on.
10 years ago.
So what is your commitment to this basketball team when you look at these numbers?
It's very little. And the whole thing is cyclical now. The way that college athletics works, and with NIL being such a big part of it, people are looking, and there's a lot of frustrated Sun Devil fans are like, where's the NIL money coming from? Where is the sponsorship money going to be funneled into the program? If I was one of those people that loved Arizona State basketball and had those resources at my disposal, are you pouring money into a program right now that doesn't even really have a commitment from the leadership of the university? There's been pressure on Michael Crow for years and years and years to prioritize the revenue-generating sports.
Yes.
And his tact has been always something else. It's been, look at our Olympic sports. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good.
Yep.
But it's not what pays the bills, and it's not what keeps you competitive.
Until
he makes those sports, men's basketball, football, a priority, like other institutions do, I would hold on to my checkbook as well.
And it also doesn't get you into the arena of casual sports fans in the Valley that want a portfolio of teams to cheer for. If you're constantly going to be 11th in the standings and 11th or 12th in budget, you're going to get what you pay for. And this is, I mean, this really, those numbers really solidify what Danny Hurley said about Bobby Hurley in that program. And again, listen, I was talking about this arena 15 years ago, and it's still just what it is. And I don't know how you can expect to compete with that. And yet the arena is the least of Bobby Hurley's problems.
In a 2022 article in The Athletic, Doug Haller wrote, prior to his first season, a reporter asked then Arizona State coach Bill Frieder about Desert Financial Arena, then known as the University Activity Center. Quote, sure, on the surface it looks great, Frieder said. Then he listed everything in need of an upgrade. 10 years behind the times, this place, Frieder said. Archaic, but we'll get it turned around. That was 1989.
What is going? This is like a copy and paste of the Coyotes story.
Yeah.
Like, what is with, like,
are you suggesting that ASU basketball is going to move?
Well, Utah already, luckily Salt Lake City already has a college basketball team. But it's crazy, just like over and over again, the fight to get upgrades in arenas in town, it feels like.
Yeah, I also want to quote another writer, some Yahoo named Jordan Ham on Sports 360 AZ. You ever heard of this guy, Jordan Ham?
I've heard of his last name. I enjoy thinking about him.
In a recent article, he wrote, "No matter your opinion on Bobby Hurley and the job he's done at Arizona State, it's hard to argue that he's been not been running into this new world of college athletics with a full war chest. There's bringing a knife to a gunfight, and then there's Hurley, who has been forced to wield a spork the past few years." He's bringing a spork to a gunfight.
Jordan wrote that?
You ain't going to win that.
He's a good writer.
Good line.
That is a really good line.
Maybe it was AI.
And then there was also...
Didn't Taco Bell make sporks famous?
Yes. They sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did.
Well, I got to read that thing from Jordan Hale. Oh, man.
There was nothing better back in the day than unwrapping the spork and just diving into an enchirito.
Oh.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Man.
That is some good stuff.
I love the enchirito.
I agree. No, so did I. Who didn't?
I don't know if everybody I've ever had the pleasure.
It. So they got rid of it. The other news that got a reaction from ASU sports fans yesterday, spring football still going on. Jaden Rashada hadn't participated in a lot of it, recovering from a thumb injury. And now he's apparently taking his talents elsewhere. My surprise level on this story is zero.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Jaden Rashada always struck me, even though he said all those things. It's always been my dream to play at ASU. I'm coming home. Even though this was never his home.
Right.
He played three games. And now Georgia came calling and NIL? I'm coming. And it looks like Sam Levitt's going to be the quarterback this year.
Yeah, maybe ASU's plan is we're just going to ignore all of this until the NIL is funded by someone else.
Okay. Like a central figure?
Like a central body, which might be happening. We talked about that yesterday or 2 days ago. That might be happening in football. I've not heard that kind of plan for basketball.
Yeah, but I mean, full circle, what we just talked about, the lack of commitment from up high. If we get to a system where the universities are paying the salaries of the athletes...
Well, they won't be. The TV networks are the TV revenue are going to be funding this. But you're right. If there's one thing you can state definitively, it is that Michael Crow has got no love for what is going on in college athletics in the two revenue generating sports, and just basically putting the head in the sand, not dealing with that. I don't believe in it. I'm not doing it. I'm not dealing with that. And the results are what the results are.
And by the way, there's still no athletic director. Yeah. And there's that whole thing.
Oof. It's a mess, man.
Years.
Bring your brooms, because it's a mess. Coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through the big stories of this Friday morning in the Rush Hour reboot. It's Pickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
Here we go, my friends. Let's get you caught up on everything you need to know in Valley sports. Ooh, it has been a week. It has been a week in the Valley. Yeah. My goodness. When I think it was Vince you mentioned at the top of the show, the Suns played basketball this week. I'm like, no, they didn't.
Yeah.
They did not play. They did not. But yes, their season ended on Sunday, or their regular season, I should say, ended on Sunday. We are Bickley and Murata Mornings, by the way. This is the Rush Hour Reboot. Let's jump in. I'm Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey!
With Vince Murata.
And bring your brooms, because it's a mess.
I had to play the actual cut. Very underrated movie.
Was that from?
The Campaign.
Okay.
With Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
I thought that was just you being funny, Vince.
No.
An original quote.
I steal everything.
Well, fair enough. Jared Carlin's here, too. Everyone be normal to your female colleagues today. Did we all make it through the day without harassing our female colleagues? Did we do it?
I did.
Congratulations.
I think.
I mean... Yeah, there are a few here.
It's a pretty
slim pickings.
Pretty empty facility when we're here.
Well, either way, congratulations. All right, let's start with the Phoenix Suns and the playoffs. We are finally here. The Suns and the T-Wolves get started tomorrow in Minnesota. Game one of a best of seven. Of course, the number that's been thrown around all week long, including in my updates, is 3-0. The Suns went 3-0 against Minnesota in the regular season. That was an 18-point win in November, a 10-point win in early April, and then a 19-point win on Sunday this week in the regular season finale. In that last game, the most recent game, Anthony Edwards from Minnesota only had 13 points and did not make a shot in the second half. Maybe that was part of their vanilla approach. Here is Devin Booker on Anthony Edwards and the star that he is becoming.
I say Ant's not up and coming anymore. You know, he's somebody that's here. Somebody had a hell of a season this year and, you know, led his team to a top seed in the West. You know, so it's a tough matchup. And, you know, it's going to take a collective hold to slow him down and, you know, just try to make him as inefficient as possible.
And here is Devin Booker again on his hopes for the playoffs.
You know, I haven't won a ring yet. That's the ultimate goal. Obviously had some moments, you know, two games short of the goal. So, you know, being that close, you know, with a lot of career left, you know, gives me something to fight for and strive for.
Okay. For the Suns to win this series, guys, who will need to be the series MVP and why?
I'm gonna go with Booker. I'll go with Book.
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure that they need any single individual to kind of be that dude, but I think in the confines of the question, I'm going to vote Devin Booker as well. If he can have that kind of series to start this postseason, I think it's going to have great effects on this town, on this team, on everything.
Yeah, but it's also, to your point, Vic, and I think you're right on, in playoff series, and I know there's a promo running for the afternoon show where Gambo says your best players have to play well to win playoff series. And it doesn't sound like it's that big of a discovery,
right.
But it's true. Booker, Durant, and Beal have to be better than Towns, Edwards, and Gobert.
Yep.
And if that happens, they're going to win the series.
Yep.
But if you want it with one player, I'll still look at Booker.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, that was a 19-point win for the Suns on Sunday. Again, the Timberwolves claimed that they didn't want to show the Suns anything in that game. Sure. But what do you think the Suns should pluck from that win and apply to tomorrow's game?
Everything. Just cut and paste. It was maybe
run
the
it
best.
Back.
The defensive intensity is where it started for
me. Yeah.
To force 19 turnovers and a half of basketball at the NBA level is remarkable. It's tied an NBA record. And the Suns had that intensity from the jump. And they'll need, obviously, you're not going to force that many turnovers on a consistent basis. But you can duplicate the intensity and the effort you play
with. Well, yes. And because of that intensity, the Suns completely flipped the script on the Wolves. The Wolves were supposed to be the great defensive team. The Suns were the team plagued by turnovers all year long, and they completely flipped it on them.
They did.
Shows you the potential of this team when they actually are intense.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, before we get on to the Arizona Diamondbacks and Jordan Montgomery's debut tonight, quick predictions. Who comes out of each conference and who wins it all?
I hate to be so chalky, but I think we're on a collision course, Celtics Nuggets.
It's not what I want to see, but if I had to bet on something, that's what I would say, Celtics Nuggets.
Yeah. Well, on the note of betting on something, that's actually FanDuel Sportsbook has that Celtics Nuggets by far as the finals matchup, and they have the Celtics winning it all.
If you can't pick Celtics or Nuggets, who would be your matchup?
Knicks. Ooh. Thunder.
Oh, spicy. Yeah,
I'd
Thunder.
Probably go Knicks.
Clippers.
Yeah.
The Clippers will not get through this postseason in one piece.
Yeah,
they just never do.
Dangerous they just expectation. Never
do. It sucks that the only two teams that really seem like they have any chance against Boston are playing each other in the first round. Philly and New York.
You know what? I'm going to amend that. If I can't pick the Nuggets, I'll pick the Suns. Because the Suns would have to get through the Nuggets in the second round. And,
okay.
And if they
Homer!
Do that.
Unless the Lakers beat
That's
the Nuggets in the first round.
Yeah, did you see my shirt today?
Yeah, I did.
You see my purple and orange shoes today?
Oh, boy. Well, the enthusiasm is high. We love it. All right, let's get to the Diamondbacks.
So talk to me tomorrow at about 2:30.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's a 12:30 tip, by the way. Jordan Montgomery is making his D-backs debut tonight about 3 weeks after the team signed him. Diamondbacks GM Mike Hazen was on with Wolf and Luke earlier this week, as he is every week.
Freaky Mike Hazen.
The the freaky Mike Hazen. He said that they're going to keep an eye on his pitch count tonight, but they are really excited to have him out there.
Look, he's an accomplished major league pitcher. Everybody in this market saw him pitch against us in key situations last year. We're glad we have him. I think he's going to add a level of stability to our rotation that is critical over 162. And I'm excited to see him go pitch.
What are you guys excited to see from Jordan Montgomery tonight?
Adding another top-of-the-line kind of pitcher to this rotation and see what it does to the collective. The confidence, all of it.
Absolutely, all of that. I would not be shocked to see him struggle in his first couple of starts, though. It's a different timetable he's been on. And I know you can't judge, and the Diamondbacks will remind you this of all. You don't get too caught up in minor league numbers, but he got hit pretty hard in his second start in Reno. I think there's still some acclimation going on. I don't necessarily think the Diamondbacks are rushing him, but he's coming at a good time.
Mm-hmm,
we'll say that.
All right, that game begins at 7:15 tonight on the road. That's going to be on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. And if you tuned in to the reboot hoping to hear more from the guys about the Coyotes, that's coming up at 8:15. So make sure you are listening then for more thoughts on Alex Meruelo's conversation with Burns and Gambo yesterday and the fallout from that.
All right, we're all rebooted.
You sure are.
Thank you, Sarah. Rush Hour Reboot every morning at 7:30, where Sarah takes us through the big stories of the morning. Coming up next, another big story. Suns, Timberwolves getting it started tomorrow in Minneapolis. And our guy, Kellen Olsen, is on his way to Minneapolis, and we'll talk to him next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. We are just a day away from Game 1 of the Suns' first-round matchup against the Timberwolves. What will be the key if the Suns are to take Game 1 on the road? We'll discuss it on today's Burns and Gambo Show, 2-6 on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, an early tip tomorrow, Game 1. Playoffs get underway for the Suns. They're in it for the fourth straight year playing the Timberwolves in the postseason for the first time in the history of both franchises. And Kellen Olsen will be in Minneapolis for games 1 and 2 covering the Suns, and you can read all of his stuff on arizonasports.com, and he joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Kellen, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Whenever I'm awkwardly talking in the middle of the gate, it's my favorite time of year. That means it's playoff time, baby.
We'll try not to make it too awkward for you.
Yeah, only four people stared at me when I said that. So.
Beautiful, yeah. So this will be a subdued Kellen Olsen. All right, Kellen, I heard you bravely predict the Timberwolves to win the series, and it's part of what I love about you is you're objective and you don't let the rah-rah and the pom-poms affect you. Your thoughts on the Suns and their inability or ability to play consistent basketball over the course of a prolonged period of time?
Yeah, that's all it comes down to, because I agree so much with the majority of the opinions and the reasons why people are picking the Suns, just in terms of how this matchup favors them, how they've handled it in the regular season, just like the stylistic clash that this is, where it's a team sticking to playing two bigs in this type of day and age. And you're looking at a team like the Suns who start three guards. They have a bunch of shooting everywhere. Minnesota does as well, but it's just like a really big clash of styles, and I think it favors the Suns. I think that the Suns have the two best players in the series as well, and that often means they're going to win the series, but consistency is all it comes down to. I think the Suns figured a lot out in the last 10 to 15 games of the season, but with them figuring that out, the growing pains included some of the really big lows that we've seen over the entire season. And if those lows weren't there, and if this team would have gone 7-8 over the last 15 games, but the lows wouldn't have been there, they were just losing close games, I think I would have picked them to win the series. But that part of their team just hasn't gone away. They're playing a Minnesota team that forces a ton of turnovers, and then that's a concerning part of it. And there are a couple other ones as well, but I think it's a coin flip either way. And I'm really excited to see which way it leans, because Timberwolves in six, I say that, but I don't really have a great read on the series, if I'm being honest, with how close it seems.
One of the things that has stood out this year in the regular season matchups is the inability of Anthony Edwards to really get anything going. His numbers, he's shooting 31% in the three games. He's a way better player than that. How have the Suns put the bottle, bottled him up to that degree, and what do you expect from Anthony Edwards in this series, Kellen?
Yeah, to make the comparison to something Suns related, we saw Devin Booker go through the trials and tribulations of developing as a playmaker over 4 to 5 years of really, really bad basketball. But what that allowed him to do was grow that part of his game. So once the playoffs showed up, this part of his game was ready. Anthony Edwards is still developing. that part of his game. And what the Suns have done is really just bottled up the driving lanes for him. And Anthony Edwards himself said after their loss on Sunday that he just needs to get rid of the ball a beat sooner. You see the passes that are open for him, but he's just going a little bit too far into the teeth of the defense. And the Suns right now are willing to live with Minnesota shooting. When you exclude garbage time, Minnesota's been the best three-point shooting team in the league this year, so that doesn't seem like a strategy that would pay off. Minnesota shooters shot under 30% from three outside of Anthony Edwards against the Suns this year. So that strategy certainly worked. Is it going to work over 6 to 7 games against both Edwards and their shooters? I'm not so sure. Edwards, if he wasn't so proven in the playoffs already, maybe I'd feel better about it. But over those 11 games, the first two first-round exits, that they had there in the last 2 years, he was sensational in those series. And he looks playoff-ready already. And I'm really curious to see if he can take his game to another level. The Suns don't need that out of their guy, and that's something they have going for them for sure, because we know what to expect from those two guys.
All right, we know that the game changes significantly in the postseason. It gets a heck of a lot more physical. It slows down. It becomes half-court in nature. And then it becomes a chess match, a series of defensive adjustments. How do you think this group of the Suns kind of rate when it comes to the criteria of which you need to be good in the postseason?
Yeah, a really good trait that they have, and something that I'm going over on ArizonaSports.com once it posts the final part of my written playoff preview for the series, is the Suns finished first in free throw rate this year, again, excluding garbage time. They were the best team in the league this year generating free throws, but as Vinny and I have talked about a few times on the show, you really notice watching these games on a game-to-game basis how the officiating changed in the last 2 months. And going from March on, their free throw rate was 20th in the league. So somewhere in there, the Suns weren't able to adjust to whatever was getting called or weren't getting the calls they're normally going to get. And we know how the whistles not necessarily disappear, but tighten up in some senses, or loosen up in some senses, I should say, in the first round and going on. It only gets more physical as you go. So are the Suns going to be able to get those whistles? And is Kevin Durant going to be able to get to the free throw line in the ways that we've seen him do last postseason? Can he do that again? Because this is going to be an ultra-physical series. Minnesota is gigantic. They've got Towns. They've got Gobert. They've got Naz Reid. They've got Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels on the wing as well. Like, yeah, they're a really big team and a physical team. And I think that they're going to really look to really beat up the Suns, and if the Suns can take advantage of that by getting to the line, then it all works out for them in the end.
Kellen Olsen, ArizonaSports.com, our guest. He's on his way to Minneapolis to cover Suns, T-Wolves. One of the reasons why people are bullish on the Suns in this series, not only the way they finished 7-3, and yes, I agree with you, there were lows in that 10-game finish, but the recent play of Bradley Beal, he looks like a completely different player. He looks like he's turning into an emotional and on-court leader for this team. What do you make of the recent play of Bradley Beal, and how important is that to continue for the Suns?
Yeah, I think if I'm picking an X factor beyond the three stars in this team, or in the series, that Beal would be the guy, just because I thought he adapted really well to the role that he was kind of not forced into necessarily, but the role that the team needed from him, with the point guard duties, with the extra emphasis on his defense, with like him even being a good offensive rebounder, getting the 50-50 balls, things like that. He's been really good in those little areas for them. And we were kind of settled into like, okay, maybe this is the Bradley Beal you get this year. And then next year you see the actual Bradley Beal that you expected, which is the all-star, the guy who averaged over 30 a game. In his last 5 games, he averaged 26 a game. He's shooting 52% from three in his last 28 games, I believe is the number that I had in the story. He's been sensational offensively, and that's the guy that they're going to need in certain stretches, and that's what's so difficult about his role, is that he's trying to be that guy, but he can't be that guy the whole game like he was before earlier in his career. It's going to be little stretches of the game, and he found them in the last two. Can he find them in the key moments here where maybe Durant is slipping up with the ball, Booker's getting trapped? Can Beal be that guy to open things up? Because he's going to be guarded by Karl-Anthony Towns or Mike Conley. He should take advantage of that matchup every time. That's something he emphasized after practice, and we'll see if he can do it. It very well could determine the series.
A Wolves assistant coach did a radio interview yesterday, and he tried to lay the claim that the Timberwolves went real vanilla in their last matchup on Sunday because they had a feeling they were going to face the Suns in the playoffs. That sounds like a reach. It sounds like a team looking to convince themselves that they can hang. What do you make of the psychological advantage in this series, and do you think the Timberwolves can get this, can handle that?
I'm really curious, Dan. I'm really curious. As far as like Sunday and how that went, I mean, I think a certain amount of teams will try and not show some stuff in that kind of situation. But with that being said, they wanted to win that game. They wanted to get the number one seed, and they wanted to, more importantly, beat the Suns to get over that. And they got decisively beat yet again. As far as their team, what you're alluding to, when Rudy Gobert's been on a playoff team, at a certain point he's gotten played off the floor, or a team has just exposed him to the point where his team's getting eliminated. And Karl-Anthony Towns, if there's anyone who has, like, this is the biggest playoff series for them, it's him, because he has sort of tailspin in the last two postseasons where he starts to commit some really dumb fouls. He makes really bad decisions. He just looks like someone really just going through it mentally on the floor, where you can see it start to break down for him. And he needs this. Minnesota needs this. They haven't been to the second round for a long time. I think it goes back to the KG era. So can those guys stay strong when adversity comes to them? Because it's going to come. When you're playing against Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you're going to deal with some adversity. And how can they handle it? Can they handle it in game one? I'm really curious to see. As I've said a couple of times, like, I don't really have a good read on the series because there's so many different angles to it. It's only going to get more interesting the deeper we get into it.
Kellen, looking forward to the series. Looking forward to your coverage of the series, too. Enjoy it, man.
Fly safe.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Kellen Olson covers the Suns for us, does a great job of it too at ArizonaSports.com, also part of the Empire of the Suns podcast with Kevin Zimmerman. He joined us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, we hit halftime, and the second half kickoff is awaiting in the form of the Bickley Blast. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.